Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays, and how in the hell are you as we get this legend of epic proportions that is growing as Blue Jays fans and all of our fandom and new cult hero, but we're going to get to that in a few minutes. Fellas, how are we doing? Jason Lyons and Ken Alfred, what's up?
Doing all right. I mean, the weather's getting it's been rainy here, but aside from that, it's a long weekend here in Toronto or Ontario, I believe. So, yeah, glad to be here.
It's about the same on the flip side of the pond here on Lake Ontario, too. Just saying. It's very crabby. Nice and cool, though.
It's getting there. It definitely beats the heat wave, though, over the last few weeks.
Yeah. And I think Jason is having fun with his headphones.
Yeah. All good. All good. None of it works. It's fabulous. I love it. Nothing but awesome. Well, it's, again, you know, it was a great, unbelievable week in Jaydom. And, you know, it's beautiful here. And so my complaint level is seriously low because I feel like very few people are listening. You know, weather's great. Jays are playing well. I mean, what are they going to listen to me complain about, right? Nothing.
Monkeys don't cramp.
So
let's pick it up right back where we left off last week. We were talking about trade deadline. There was rumors that the Blue Jays might do something significant before we, you know, a week ago, which was 24 hours before the trade deadline, basically. We were hearing all this rumblings and nothing really ended up coming to fruition. So the only thing that ended up being, you know, on top of the Jordan Hicks trade, we apparently are just like Jason put out on our Instagram. We are Cardinals North now. And so we get acquired three gentlemen for their services. The Blue Jays end up getting a piece that is very, you know, reactive to the current situation that they have for Bo Bichette and his injury. And grabbing another talented veteran that has played in the playoffs in Paul DeJong. And guys, this was actually a really sneaky move. Has he been playing that well in the whole week that we've seen? No, but he's playing good defense. But the fact this is a veteran that now is a good person to be putting on that bench regardless, and a veteran.
Yeah, Jason, I feel like there's a ton of pluses with Paul DeJong. I feel like he does everything that sort of, you know, that we're going to ask of him. He's going to play D. He can play short. He can play two. I think he got a couple of hits over the weekend, didn't he? Or one or two. He's got to adjust to a new.
Yeah. 10, I believe. This is not legendary proportion yet.
Yeah. But you've got to adjust to a new clubhouse. And I mean, he has a couple of friendly faces with other Cardinals there, which is probably a lot easier than most. But I mean, he looks solid. I think he probably needs a couple of games at home. I always feel like that's, you know, sort of the equator is getting those games in at home, whereas the flip side of which I think has been the positive for the other anomaly that we'll speak of later.
Keyword anomaly in that backer. Ken, have you seen play from Mr. DeJong over the weekend?
Nothing that I've seen yet, but I'm just saying, like, you know what? We got him for his defense, right? Did we actually get him for his offense as well, or was it just to cover a hole?
Not really.
This is the best probably buy low candidate you get at shortstop that you're not going to be, you know, writing home about, but there is a chance that, you know, he's a rental at this point. You know, they didn't have to give up a ton for him. He's not screaming, you know, amazing player, but he does have 13 home runs and 32 RBIs. So that is above replacement for, you know, that basically what this equates to. They didn't know if trucking Santiago Espinal out at shortstop every day was the win or bringing in somebody like Paul DeJong. I think in the midst of a pennant race, Paul DeJong screams perfect, regardless of the level of contribution we're getting at this point.
And just so I understand too, like, so he came from the National League, he came from the Cardinals. And when, as soon as they bring in from someone from the National League to the American League, their stats kind of don't disappear, right? Do they? Because I'm just trying to look up some of the stuff here on, you know, baseballreference.com. And it's like, he's only had 5 games and 20 at bats. But I'm like, should be showing you, right? Like, they don't wipe it out just because you're going to a different, you know.
They usually take those two things and merge them together. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
So time with this team and time with that team. But at point, there were some weird things that they used to do on ESPN back in the day. Like, it looked like the season started over. It's like, well, no, it didn't. It just seasoned a new team. It's not a big deal, you know. But to that point, like I said, I think he's a win. You know, like I said, he's won with the Cardinals. That is all I can say. So worst case scenario, you have another guy like Kiermaier that's been in this locker room and, you know, that has, what do we do when things get hard, you know?
The veteran presence. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not a super vet or anything. Like, I mean, he's a little younger than Kiermaier, I think, yeah?
29.
And I think the biggest thing is, and can we all agree that the Kiermaier thing was a little bit dramatic? Like, I know it was 11-1, but Whit Merrifield was, I thought he was going to pick him up and run him off the field, like, you know, in some sort of.
Oh, my God.
He had a little gash on his elbow. Like, come on.
Is he actually injured? Just the gash? And
he's good to go. He's got stitches. Okay. He threw the ball to one.
Merely a flesh wound.
Yeah. Okay. It's a flesh wound.
I think the big thing with DeJong, you know, and especially looking, you know, because Bichette's probably out, I would say, at least safely another 2 weeks. But that would be my safe assessment. They want to let him get healthy, like full healthy, before they bring him back in. And of course, you know, there's a lot of questions about who then takes over the said positions. I mean, Espinal looked a bit like a fish out of water when they took Chapman out and put him at three. And he made that one play, but you could see that he definitely checked himself. Like, he wasn't 100% sure about it was a play or not worried, you know, if he had a good grip on the ball. And so it's one of those things where I think Espy and I think Biggio both sort of check themselves out of the lineups, unfortunately. We have the
benefit. There's more reasons we're going to talk about on that, too.
Yeah. We have the benefit of Merrifield, who can play everywhere. And, I mean, I feel like DeJong is a really, really, really... He's going to be a super... Mark my words. In September, we're going to be talking about how important Paul DeJong has been to the Jays, minus this. I mean, we won't even be talking about this series.
Was he the one that went off the last playoff appearance for the Cardinals and basically got them to the World Series?
At the start, yeah. At the start, he was like just otherworldly. Yes. And he can do that. He's a slap hitter. He hits the ball hard. He can find the seats when he needs to. He's fast enough. He's very Kevin Kiermaier. Like, very in just different position player.
Yep. So, but to the point, very intriguing. So now let's talk about the clear elephant in the room. I mean, the legend in the room. I mean, the myth or whatever you want to call it. So if you've been living under a rock for the last 3-4 days, then you are not paying attention to Blue Jay fandom at all. And I'm glad that we get to help you get there. So Davis Schneider has been a perennial home run hitter for the Buffalo Bisons this season. And he earned himself a call-up finally to start this Boston Red Sox series. And guys, literally legendary, epic proportions. He is the first Major League Baseball player in history to go for his first 3 games, have 9 hits and 2 home runs.
Wow. It's the whole, I mean, I watched it all weekend. I watched all 3 games and... just the whole thing, it's like somebody is testing out a movie screenplay and they keep trying to you know, kick a different part of it down the line to see if people actually believe it. And it's, to me, it's so unreal. And I think the biggest thing is, and people out there have to understand this, John Schneider said this so succinctly. He said that he did not make one single change from the dude that was in Buffalo the week prior to the dude that went up to the Jays and played against the Red Sox. Not one change. And what that meant for him was he could be himself. He could play his game and he could be successful. Too many times players get called up, and I think we can all understand it. You want to do what he did. You want to hit a home run in your first AB, and you want to go, what is he, 8 for 11 or 8 for 12 or 9 for, who cares?
It's 9 to 13.
You want half of that. You don't want to even be anywhere near that. Half of that, you'd be ecstatic. In fact, probably if you just hit a home run for your first AB and then, you know, maybe had 2 more hits for 2 more weeks, you'd be okay. But the thing for me is, and you see this a lot when people advance upwards, especially in sport, they try to become someone they are no longer. And it's what you were that got you there. And baseball is one of those sports where you can stay true to that and probably be more successful than in any other sport. There's a lot of times where a goal scorer will be pulled up in hockey and the coach says to him, hey, man, I got to play you on the fourth line. It's my only option. We want you to play. You're going to be on the fourth line. So you're going to be checking a ton. You're only going to get 4 to 6 minutes a game, but we still expect you to score. And you're like, sorry, what did you just say? Like, I'm playing, you know, 40 minutes a game for the team I'm playing for, and I'm getting a goal, maybe. I'm a good player, but I need the ice. I need the space. You're asking a guy to come up and play 6 minutes, or in the case of a lot of people that get called up to the majors, play 1 or 2 spot innings where they're dropped in as a designated hitter or a pinch runner.
Whatever it might be, right?
For this guy to take this position and the opportunity as extremely as he did is so phenomenal. And my hope is that he can stay and stay hot. And then when they need to get rid of him, it becomes, he can go back down and he'll have stories to tell forever. Or, I mean, maybe we've caught lightning in a bottle here and he stays the whole time. And you have an unbelievable DH that can play everything on the left, you know, from two to three, I think he can play every position for you there. If you need Bichette to have a day off or Schneider to have Chapman to have a day off or, you know, whatever. I mean, at this point right now, I feel it's impossible for you to send him down. I don't care.
He's listed as a second, third, and left fielder. And we're finding he's actually starting in the leadoff spot tonight and in left field because they're finally giving Whit Merrifield a day.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's a Cinderella story that, I mean, like I said, it's like, you know, John Cameron or one of these guys was testing out a baseball screenplay and someone was like, well, we got a dude. Well, let's just try it and we'll see if all this weird shit works. Like, no. I'm sure we're going to talk about his glove. I'm sure we're going to talk about his mustache. I'm sure we're going to talk about,
you love know, the mustache.
Shenanigans with the Canadians. Like, my favorite part is when you pull up his baseball IMDb, the picture of it is him with the Vancouver Canadians. They don't even have
that far.
Picture footage of this dude to have him. He's in a Bison's one for just a half for one of them.
Yeah.
But like everything else is him with the C's 2 years ago. Like it's unreal to me, but so cool. So cool.
Yeah. So the reason you earn a call up, though, if you're wondering how we got here, 87 games with the Bisons this year. He's been .275 with 21 doubles, 21 home runs, and 64 RBIs. And he also stole 9 bags. So clearly, tons of thunder in this bat for a guy that's only 5'9". So he's the same height as me. I thought that was crazy and wild when I heard that. He's 24 years old, and he was the 28th round for the Blue Jays in 2017. So this is a round that no longer exists in the Major League Baseball draft. So this is the fact that he's gotten to where he's gotten to. And the cooler thing I thought is that more or less it sounded like, and I'm sure you guys heard this in the broadcast, a couple of his coaches actually had to con him into keep going recently. Yeah. This is within the last few years saying, no, you got this. Just keep going. Please keep going. And obviously it's finally hit all cylinders and he's
I'm going to tell you guys another one. And I know this because I know someone that's close to the organization. Do you know who almost gave up 2 years ago as well? Is Ellie De La Cruz. So he was that close to quitting baseball. Like within his stuff was packed. He was like, I'm not going to make this. I'm still young. I can go back home. I can still do stuff. And they were like, look, man, you are still young. Keep pushing, keep grinding. That's why, if you've ever seen the video where he's in the airport, that's why they did it at the airport, because that's where he claims to have said to his coach a couple of years ago, I'm going to quit. So he was like, I hope you have all your stuff to go home, Ellie. That's the joke, right? Because you're going to the majors. So, I mean, it's, I feel like, you know.
That was great. I didn't know that part of the story. That's awesome.
I've known a handful of guys that have made it. And I mean, it's such a grind, and it's such an unbelievable thing. And I feel like a lot of times we take stuff like this for granted, where, you know, like, talk about any youth sport where there's so much pressure on these kids at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 to do all this stuff and you know, make academies and make, you know, this team and that team and all the rest of it. And I'm probably as guilty as the next person is, you know, as to trying to achieve those things. But, you know, it's interesting when you see a guy like this. And again, I mean, we've seen many Davis Schneiders in the past. Guys have come up and, you know, exploded. But it's, for me, it's always interesting when someone can last it out and actually make a career out of it. Like, I mean, didn't Chris Colbello do similar to this, like where he'd been floating around in Netherland and came back and they were like, where has this guy been? And as soon as they gave him a break, it's amazing to me.
To that point, I know the Chris Colabello story all too well, because he was back and forth here between the Twins and Rochester, New York the whole time. So, but to that point, regardless of what's going on, the Blue Jays were looking for a little bit of a catalyst, a reason to really rally up. And they got a guy that came into that locker room and really in a bad situation. They hadn't won a game at all to the Boston Red Sox at all this season. They're going into Fenway Park, which is always a freaking, you know, terrible terrors and whatnot. And this guy helps light the fire that turned into a sweep this past week.
They were dominant. At no point did the Red Sox look like they were in any game in this series. And they looked beat up and they looked downtrodden. And I mean, that's really good for the Jays right now. I mean, for anything that any hope that the Red Sox had to sort of, you know, make a push or anything like that. I mean, this is such a kick in the shins for them. They were hoping to at least pocket one of these games, possibly two. Then they go into a really nice soft 2 weeks in their, you know, in their schedule. And then their schedule gets equally as hard as the Jays does after that. So they really needed to make some hay and really needed to make sure that they won one or two. They didn't do either. I mean, it's been nice also to watch the Astros and the Yankees kick the shit out of each other. I mean, that's always fun.
That's always fun.
And you know, Anaheim sucks now. And you know, it's interesting to watch
trade show. Just,
yeah, I mean, did you guys see the stat? They're 0-6 since the trade deadline. They've scored three runs in five games.
It's embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing is a really nice way to say it. And there's other teams that are just completely on fuego right now. Like, I mean, the Rays really starting to look like it's going to be the Rays and the Jays, you know, battling it out at the end. And it's going to be, you know, at the end of the AL, and it's going to be a war. I mean, Baltimore is great and Baltimore is going to be there, but I just don't think they've got the stones. I just don't think they've got the guts at this point. You know, when those young kids start seeing some adversity in September, naturally they're going to start to come apart a little bit. I mean, watch any of your classic teams, watch the old, you know, the old, ironically, an orange team as well, the San Francisco Giants, when Posey and Barry Zito and all these guys were coming up. Bumgarner was just getting started. Same with they were unbelievable. One of the most skilled teams of the past 10 years, maybe 15 years. And they could never get over the hump. They were excellent during the regular season. They just couldn't do it. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, what did they win? 3-5 or 2-5 or something?
Just look at your Blue Jay fandom. That's the drive for 85 all day.
Yeah, I know.
So as far as that one goes, Blue Jays fans are younger listening to the show that don't know that. That was the first relevancy of the team that we have. Blue Jays make the playoffs and, you know, Bobby Cox leads us the direction, and then they couldn't take it any further than that. So, and then what was it? Was it 91 that we were in the same situation last day of the season?
I think it was 91, yeah. Like, you're really close.
I had an interesting question, and I don't know the answer to this question. I was going to gaggle it, and I didn't get a chance to. I was out in the sunshine today enjoying, what is it up here? Is it Victoria Day or something?
Some civic holiday.
Yeah, maybe family day or something. Who cares? It was a day off. Yeah. Regardless.
Exactly.
But someone made a point to me, Dan Einhorn, very good friend of the show, listens every, you know, usually live, but I know he's down where I just came from, so he's not listening live, obviously. But he asked, at what point do these guys, because I know like in hockey, guys have two-way contracts, but a lot of guys that are in the minors don't have two-way deals. They just have a one-way deal. So does a guy like Davis when you play 10 games, do you revert over to a major league salary and do they have to renegotiate, or does anyone know?
Ooh, good question.
I think he gets automatically the major league minimum at some point, whatever that is.
So he makes whatever.
That's the day he signs the contract to come up, or if it's, like you said, some kind of a weighted, I don't know the particulars, but that happens automatically somehow. I just don't know what the trigger is.
Okay. Well, shout out to Dan, because that was a really good question. I had no idea what the answer was. And shout out to his son, Max. Max is a two-time provincial qualifier this year for two different sports. And so he's going to try and win a provincials. We lost the provincials for baseball, but he's going to try and win a provincials for swimming. So I promised I would mention him. So they listened to it in the car. So there you go, Max.
Yep. I'm glad to have him listening, and that was a really good question as far as that kind of thing goes. But I'm very confident that that's what it was. I just don't know what the trigger is if it's many games or
five games, what it games, is, certain amount of innings.
Because the key word is they purchased the contract from minor leagues,
right?
So that's what also rolls in all the options and all that kind of stuff.
Because I remember back
how they pass them back and forth.
Yeah, in the NHL, you even had minor league teams where guys who weren't property of that team could play for them because the contract didn't necessarily mean anything. So if you were property of the Penguins, you could play for the Maple Leafs minor league team and you would get called up and you would just leave and the Penguins were paying your salary and all of that. But I know they changed that and made it so you couldn't do that anymore. And, you know, they helped so that when a minor league NHLer moved up, you immediately from day one make your NHL salary. So they're all on two-way deals if they're at the top level.
Yeah, the only thing I'm finding in a quick Google search and even the AI fund that apparently Google has now, I didn't know that. It's only calling out what levels make what things. It doesn't say how you convert from one.
I'm sure some brilliant person that, you know, that cast this will send us an answer in, I hope.
If you're listening, you know the answer. Put it in the chat. But to that point, it's all good. So
yeah, apparently sporttrack.com, apparently Schneider has a two-way contract.
Currently.
I think everyone with the Bisons might have a two-way deal. I think that's maybe a new, I know when they did it in the NHL, they made it mandatory just to protect the kids. You know, like if he was to come up game one and blow it as ACL, I mean, he's got to be protected for part of that. So even if he just made his major league salary for a week or so while he was up there, it'd probably be almost as much as he's making in the minors.
Yeah. It just says the current conversion over gives you $700,000 being converted to a major league contract is the only number I can really find. But like I said, it doesn't say what the kick into that is. It says the typical minor league AAA player makes a $500,000-$600,000 depending on their contract and things like that, but doesn't get into anything else.
Yeah, and sorry, guys, what is the difference between a one-way and a two-way? Just so I understand.
So pick any player on the Jays right now, except for maybe Espinal, maybe Biggio, maybe some of the fringe guys might have a two-way deal. So what happens was if I get sent down, my second way of my deal kicks in. So I make $3 million a year as an MLB player. I make $675,000 as a minor leaguer. So if I get sent down, the second I get sent down, I start making $675,000. The second I get moved back up, I go back up to $3 million.
Correct.
So,
okay.
A guy like
Bichette, and I want to say that. Yeah, go ahead.
You might have a handful of dudes, probably not even. I mean, I wouldn't think on a major league roster you would have even more than maybe one pitcher and maybe one player that's on a two-way, but that would normally be a guy who'd been brought up. Like your regular roster, I don't think you'd be any two ways at that point. It's the same with the NHL. Like you see a guy who gets called up early in the year and he's on a two-way, his NHL contract kicks in for a certain amount of time. And then once that time passes, so let's say he's up for a month, I think, or whatever it is, he then makes his NHL salary for the rest of the year. Doesn't matter if he goes back down or not.
Yeah, apparently there's seven J's, according to, like I said, sporttrack.com of seven J's.
Which is one of the better ones.
Yeah, sorry, eight J's that might actually have two ways. We have Merrifield, Varsho, Jay Jackson, Kirk, Manoah.
Really?
Genesis, Bowden Francis, and of course, David Schneider.
Which makes sense. Those are the guys that haven't signed a full major league contract. Like, you know, even Vladdy with his those signings, I'm sure that he's, even though he's only done the 1 year so far from the arbitration process, it doesn't shock me at the rate he's at, he threw that into that 1 year signing deal. You know what I mean? I'm making that regardless of what happens is probably what's going on. And obviously, Bo Bichette just signed the big deal to get to his arbitration years out. So that would make sense. So, yep, good deal. So should we talk about weirdisms with David Schneider before we move on to too much other fun here?
Yes, what is these things? You guys were telling me before the show started, there's something unique about Schneider, aside from his awesome hitting. So
now that we have him as a cult phenomenon in Blue Jays baseball, he is the current day Minoru Kawasaki for this team at the moment. It's outside of the awesome mustache and the cool specs. Jason, I know you're foaming at the mouth to tell this one, so I'm going to let you tell.
I don't know about the specs. I know the mustache one was a challenge. I guess he looks very young, and he was challenged many times because he was getting ID'd and stuff. And so he was like, screw this, I'm growing a mustache. And so when he was with the C's, he didn't have it. But if you go back and look at the pictures of him with the Canadians or even younger, or just minus the mustache off his face, he looks like he's about 18. Like, you can tell he's a man, but he looks like a very young man. And he's little, too. Like, he's 5'8", isn't he? Or 5'9"?
5'9".
Yeah. I mean, he's a little dude. And so they were making fun of him a bit. And so he grew the stash. Do you want to do the glove or me? I mean, the glove could be my favorite thing of the whole entire.
The glove is probably the coolest thing out of the whole planet. And so the detail is that he more or less found it in a, you know, basically a lost and found.
He was training at this facility, and he put his glove down and he was doing his workouts and doing stuff like that. And somebody walked away with it. And it was probably a really nice $400 heart of the hide or A2000 or A2K or something like that. And he was like, oh, well, whatever. And he walked over and there was a lost and found. And he was like, that one will do. And he just grabbed it. And this is no joke. And he walked out of the place. And I mean, this Mizuno glove that he's using, I would say at the minimum, it's 10 years old. And I think I'm being generous to Mizuno on that.
It looks like the one I had when I was in Little League.
Yeah.
Just
and it, sorry. It's got the initials VUK on it written in marker here on the thumb. I sent you a picture of it, Craig.
I'll post the picture so the viewers can see this. So, sorry. He's using a 10-year-old glove that he found in the lost and found.
Right now.
Yes.
As a Major League Baseball player who could have custom glove, probably any amount of them, you know, it kind of reminds me of Troy Tulowitzki, who
he did this,
you know,
thing.
He had had his same glove since he was 13 years old. He had it restrung like 50 times. And then all of a sudden, when he was playing for the Jays, it finally blew up for what it couldn't stay together anymore. They couldn't even mend the thing. It had too many. It had come apart in too many ways. And so he switched to another glove and immediately his play declined. Like, I mean, it was like night and day. And he'd been using this backup glove in practice. And I mean, he'd had this backup glove for 2 or 3 years, but he'd had his other glove for 12 years. And,
there you go.
It's, yeah.
Oh, so, man.
Look at that is the most dusty glove you're ever going to see a major
Holy
leaguer.
Crap.
Like, I mean, it's crazy. And then when they were talking about it, I saw, did you see when he was on second with Verdugo? And Verdugo grabbed the glove and he was like flapping it back and forth in his hand. And I'm like, that's so much fun. Like, just think about the dudes that he got to meet. He got to play at Fenway. Like, it's, I mean, You could have played at any ballpark in the majors, and aside from like Wrigley and I don't know what, Yankee? I mean, you start your MLB career at Fenway by hitting a home run. And, you know, like he's talking to all the Red Sox, and they're obviously they know what's going on. It's not like it's not lost on them that this guy's played three games and is just destroying everything. And it's just, I mean, it's so cool. And I'm hoping that they can figure out who this VUK is, because that would be quite a topper to the end of this story.
Oh, I'm surprised VUK hasn't even, they haven't even like complained it. Yeah. Can you imagine the original owner trying to get that glove back? I mean,
he left it lost and found. At this point, you know, it's what here in the States, possession is like 9/10 of the law. Yeah. He's holding on to it.
Maybe. And imagine if that was a fan's glove, not even a pro glove. Let's say it's a fan's glove that just happened
it's
to drop.
It's not a pro glove. It's not a pro glove.
It's a professional model.
Yeah. It's just professional like, on the picture.
It's like right an here. $80 glove. $80 tops. Like, I'll bet you that when Mizuno was new, it was $80. And a heart of the hide or a 44 or an A2K is 500.
So I think I can literally go out to my garage right now and find my one that I had like this. That was a Ray Ardonez model. So if you're a Mets fan and know who Ray Ardonez is, he played for probably five seasons and won two gold gloves, but he couldn't do anything else. But my point, I just love this kind of stuff because for all I know, this is, first off, it shows the content of his character. And you can tell in his interviews, he is the most humble guy on the planet. Just thankful to be there on the field all day, every day. I think this thing only speaks more to that volume of that. Whole thing.
Hey,
the fact that he's like, I can go out here and do this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With this, it's not even a problem to me, and I'm happy.
So I just found this out while I was farting around talking there. So this glove is a glove that belonged to the late Phillies head coach John Vukovich. Like this story gets better.
There's been more digging
every single second. So they've just, you know, they've been digging into this obviously since they saw all this stuff. So the John Vukovich was the he was a utility infielder and manager and coach in the MLB. Best known for his time with the Phillies. He played from 70 to 71, coached from 1988 to 2004. In an interesting turn of events, Vukovich's son Vince used to be Toronto manager's John Schneider's roommate and teammate at Delaware. I wish I was making this stuff up.
Couldn't write that. I know you can't make that up. This is six degrees from Kevin Bacon shit.
It's Ricky Vaughn coming out of this and coming out of center field. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man.
So thank you for that tidbit. Good reporting.
Give credit to who wrote that one. Isabel Gonzalez. She's great if you don't ever read. She's very good, a very good reporter for MLB and for the Jays.
If you're a fan of Hazel May, like all Blue Jays fans are, you would love her stuff too.
Yeah,
she
is great.
A great investigative baseball reporter. So
it's crazy. Like, I mean, it's literally, and now it's like all over everywhere, and it's just people are getting blown up.
It's like full on detective level crazy. Holy shnikes.
Schneider was drafted 849th overall.
Just to be this person, I don't think Batman tracks that down as the best, the world's greatest detective. I'm just saying, I don't think it happens.
No. Well, that's sometimes the interwebs does good things, mostly bad things. This was a good thing.
That was a good one.
Well, there you go.
That is a good story. Now, sorry, there's a question about David Snyder. So, do you think that the media is going to have extra pressure on him? Like, in your opinion, what should we be expecting for Snyder? Do we think he can last the season, or do you think he's going to last a few months? What kind of contribution? Because obviously, as much as I would love for him to keep producing the way he's been doing for these last three games, we probably know that's not going to be, like that for all the time while he's up here. So what's your general expectations of what he's going to contribute to the Jays this
season? Craig, what do you think, buddy?
He's going to make it difficult for Biggio or Espinal to stick around, I think. I really do.
Yeah, I really do,
too. At the end of the day, he's a thorn in the sides right now, and he's the hot hand. The biggest thing at a minimum, this guy's goofing around or whatever that you call it here all of a sudden has brought a little catalyst to the team. Do you take that away? Probably not. And if you do, it's going to take epic downturn. Even if he falls down, Ken, to where his minor league numbers are, he is still producing more than Biggio, more than Espinal. So
I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but I feel like one of the biggest catalysts of this whole weekend was how much better did Craig Biggio look in game three than he did after game one? Do you know why that is? Fear. Fear is heavy.
I was going to say, Biggio was actually doing really good this season.
And Espinal,
the series. And I was like, oh, wow.
Espinal, I mean, he to me right now, he doesn't look like he gives much of a crap. And, it's one of those things where, like going up against that position player the other night and, Espinal's fanning at 42 mile an hour Ephus pitches. And what does Snyder do? He goes up in there. He says, I don't care if you're a kid coming out of the crowd or the best pitcher that the Red Sox have. I'm going to hit you. If you throw it in the zone, I'm going to hit you. And, you watch George Springer's at bat as well. And it actually bothered me quite a bit when that one called strike happened and George is sort of shaking his head. I'm like, you know what, dude? That thing's coming in like somebody underhanded it to you. Just smash it off the wall and move along to the next dude. I don't know. Player pitching, it's always something that's bothered me. I know that the players don't want to show up the dude on the mound, but they also don't want to get struck out. So they swing at junk. And, it's almost always a 1-2-3 inning. And I was really proud of Snyder to stick in there and smash that ball into the outfield and take his base knock and hustle it out and the whole thing. I mean, he's everything you want. He's a buzzsaw. And I mean, he's Randy Arozarena without the athletic talent to the top end, but he really is. He hits the ball every time it comes near him. He makes plays at two every time the ball comes near him. He's fast enough where Randy is very fast. But Randy Arozarena would run through the dugout wall for the Rays, and I feel like Snyder would do the same thing. And sometimes that's the dude you need. You need the pit bull. You need the three-legged dog. You need the, whatever it is.
He's going to leave it all out on the field and do what he can. And honestly, I think right now that's been the a little bit of the attitude the Blue Jays have been short on. I do have one other stat that I have to share with you on Snyder, though, that I'm thinking is going to get a good kick out of everybody here. So he has the best facial hair to glasses ratio since Rance Mullenix. So
they sure made a lot of comparisons with him and then with Molitor, over the couple of days. And I mean, if you're Davis Snyder and they're comparing you to those two dudes, I know it's a small sample scale and, he may go down next week and we maybe never hear the words Davis and Snyder together in the same sentence again. But, it's one of those things where he can forever, and not every player who makes it has a story like this where they can say, hey, remember this? Remember when I was the best in the league for three days
or whatever it is, right? Yeah.
So good for him.
So just to be this person, because I have to share a little bit here of the fact that I made a Rance Mullenix joke in the Blue Jays fans that are out in the world only know so much of Rance Mullenix these days. So everybody's seen what Davis Schneider has. Yeah, I know. I know everybody on this show does, but I got to share a little bit here. Just saying, just the perfect mustache, and it's just got the, he's got the like the new Rex specs instead of the wonderful 80s aviators. So I just, like I said, I thought that popped into my head when I saw him the first time with the mustache in Buffalo, and I'm like, I hope he gets up so I can make that joke.
Yeah, I remember Rance Molinick's getting like an inside the park home run at the Skydome. That was my only memory of Rance Molinick, aside from having not even know how to pronounce his last name. You know,
did some announcing for the Blue Jays for a while there too. Was a
he
very
threw me
key
a ball
contributor.
At a Jays game.
Perfect. Really?
Old Rance did. Yeah.
Wow.
But a solid guy.
I
himself,
always had a weird affinity for. I had a weird affinity for him and for Garth Orge. Both
oh,
of those.
God,
dudes.
Garth Orge.
Wiggling bat.
Mm. Yep. Garth Orge is a reoccurring character on our friend's podcast, the Walk Off Podcast. Just saying.
Oh, really? Like he's actually on it?
No,
I think he's.
Yeah,
he's actually
he's become a little bit of a Twitter goof around person over the last few years. So he's been hanging out with Blue Jays Twitter and goofing around. So this, you know, lovely group of shenanigan people that we hang out with.
It's awesome. So guys, before we get off of Davis Schneider, like what do you think caused his success for these last three games? Do you think that there was really like no opposition scouting on him when they had him at bat and the pitchers just didn't know how to pitch to him, or what did you think?
I just think he's got a really true swing that puts his bat through the strike zone for a long time. And the biggest thing is don't change. Like he's been having success at the minor league level. He's probably had success his whole career hitting the ball hard. He's not trying to overswing. Like look at Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve, in the entire time I've watched that dude play baseball, I've never seen him go at a ball full ball. Like he's smooth. He's true to his mechanics. And that's exactly what Davis Schneider is. He's true to his mechanics. He knows his good parts. He knows where the pitch he wants to hit is. And that's a big difference. He didn't chase a single pitch that I saw when he got hit by that pitch. You know, that's where he wants to be in the batter's box. And he's not going to move out of there for you. He'll take that ball off the hand. He'll take it off the wrist. But he knows where he wants the pitch. And I feel like he's got
as far as being a gamer like he is too.
He's got enough crazy in him too. He's crazy enough to say, you know, if he was to strike out and go back in and the coach Schneider say, you know, what were you thinking? He's like, well, wasn't my pitch.
Well,
like just looking square in the face
right now.
Like,
so we'll
I'm not looking
happens.
For that pitch right now.
So, yep. I can't tell. No, he will be coming in the dish right now as we chit chat here because Paul DeJong just once again struck out. So I don't have the game on, but I have the game day thing going on the other part of the screen here. So
now that you
anyways,
that, I'm going to rotate. I'm going to rotate.
Yeah, just make sure the sound's off.
Sounds off.
We don't need any copyright infringements like we got on our one YouTube thing for no freaking reason. Thank you, asshole guy that did that. I quoted everything.
One and a half. You got one ball. This guy's dancing all around him here. Fear God in his eyes.
There it is. So, but in the midst of this whole thing, guys, I do want to talk that we did have I'm going to call it a successful week last week. Yes, we were only scraping one away from the Baltimore Orioles, but we looked pretty damn bad for that series against the Baltimore Orioles and then be able to turn around and do a complete turnaround upside down against the Boston Red Sox in Boston. That is an accomplishment among many other things that would be always seen as a great feat. And then we get to now go to Cleveland, where we get to take on the Guardians, who, guys, the Guardians are looking a little beat up at the moment. My question is did Jose Ramirez make it into the lineup? Yes, he did. Who also got to dish out a beating over the weekend, if anybody was paying attention to Major League Baseball.
Tim Anderson got knocked out.
Wow. I just think it's hilarious that whole thing happened because I saw that there was obviously a little more contact there, but I could have went either way with who caused it. Ramirez overslid the base. Did Tim Anderson tag him hard? Yes, he did. But don't slide 50 feet over the base and we won't have a problem here.
I agree.
You know, so. Well, but the fact that he literally went like Mike Tyson's punch out like 3 seconds after the thing, I was like, all right.
Well, I mean, it was
on at that point.
it's funny because I was watching the highlight with my kids right after it happened, basically. And my one son, Jet, said, that wasn't even a very good punch. Like, it's funny when you've got hockey kids, you know, like, and he's like, why did Tim Anderson square up like this, like an old school boxer, like with a big mustache, like you scallywag, like,
So it's like Mike Tyson, or not Mike Tyson, Indiana Jones fighting that giant guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. So Davis Schneider struck out, so he should be cut and sent back down. Cinderella story.
Harsh critic, Jason. Jeez.
I guarantee you right now, somebody put that on that Jay's Twitter thing.
Oh, that's what
that Jay's toxic. Twitter thing is the most toxic thing. If I was a Jay's player and I just came by on my feed, I'd be like, oh God.
It's
horrifying. But
it's very polarizing. You can't even say that now because it lives up to the name now of X, because, you know, Elon Musk can't get a name.
Well, he's got a different logo out in the field, though. He's not using old Vuki out in the field.
Really?
He's got an outfield glove, is all I heard. And that's the infield glove. Oh. So my question is, where did the outfield glove come from?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting
story. All right, guys, can you walk me through that? So what's the main difference? Is it the infield gloves are a little bit smaller?
Easier to get the ball out of.
Yeah. So an outfielder's glove is normally, it'd be tough to be an 1175. So you'd be a 12-inch glove in most cases. Some guys are 12 and a quarter.
I always carried a 13.
Yeah, and some guys carry a 13.
And that was before I started using that same glove for softball at every position.
Yeah. Both my kids play infield. Both of their infield gloves are 11 and a quarters, and Jet's outfield glove is an 1175. And that's what the guys in the majors are used to. Like, no different from a 13-year-old. Same size.
Okay. So just bigger and longer.
And is a little different.
Yeah. And the pocket, it's a different break-in. It's a long break-in so that it's got, and it's usually got a big basket pocket, whereas an infielder's glove has a much smaller pocket and a little bit more condensed, like it's more like your hand, where an outfielder's glove is a little bit more like, you know, folding a newspaper on something.
And the biggest thing on that kind of is the fact in the outfield, if you're not trying to hurry up and get the ball out of your hand, the goal's catching the ball. So if you have a little bit more leather to catch it with, where in the infield, you want to hurry up and get that ball and get rid of it as quick as you can. So there's the catch, right? If you less hard to get caught into on an infield glove.
Ryu's only throw 27 into the third, which is pretty darn good against Cleveland.
It's like you have freaking ESP with where I'm going with a freaking conversation, Jason. I don't know how the hell you're going to do this. But as we were recapping the week a little bit, I wanted to talk about Ryu because his first start was against the Baltimore Orioles and he held them to four runs. And it was really that last inning that got him a little.
Yeah.
He looked really good. I complain. And I'm only getting more curious because Manoah didn't have a bad start the other day, too.
I was
going to
say,
what Manoah in the hell is going to go on with this rotation? Because I'm not taking Kikuchi out. He's been on fire.
I feel like it's down to
Manoah and Ryu, I think.
Yeah. Somebody's going to make their way into sort of middle relief, I feel like. And they're just going to have to live with it. I mean, they did it to Kikuchi last year, and he seemed to thrive in it a little bit. I mean, obviously, Chris Bassett's not going there. Gosman's not going there. I mean, I don't know if you want. I mean, you know, of all
it's
of those choices,
Manoah or Ryu, I think.
I think Manoah's the right choice. If you're going to put somebody in where he can still feel important, he can still feel like, you know, if the starter, you know, has a rough outing at the start and you have to bring Manoah in the second inning or third inning, I feel like he could still do what he wants to do and throw you a lot of pitches. But it's going to get tough. Like, I'm just watching him here now, and he is just, I mean, he's just mowing through the Indians.
Yeah.
Guardians.
Oh, to that
the
point?
Indians. Sorry, the Guardians.
Sorry, the Guardians. But at that point, I also feel like, you know, Ryu's got left everything in the tank, you know, where Manoah's been fighting everything all season, right? So I'm in the ballpark of leaning on the veteran right now. Don't break Manoah. Bring Manoah in when you need to, or especially at this point, too. He's going to get a couple of other spot starts. This schedule is a freaking atrocious for the rest of the season.
It's awful.
So, you know, okay, great. This week you're in the bullpen. Next week you're our sixth starter.
I actually heard them talking quite a bit about the possibility. And I mean, everyone poo-poos a 7-man rotation, but I mean, what's the worst that happens? You get an extra day of rest. You're able to keep a guy out for a couple of days extra if his arm's bugging him or his leg's bugging him or his back's bugging him. Like,
well,
I know that you want
rotations carrying it through till next week. They're they've already mentioned that. They said basically until they get a day off finally, which is until next week on this day, the 14th. So they have another 7 games in a row here for the next, you know, 7 days. So keep going with it. Figure it out.
Is there a limit, guys? You said like some people talk about a 7-man rotation. Is there actually an actual official rule that, you know, seven?
No, you just wouldn't want any more
10-man rotation, even if you wanted to.
You wouldn't want it. Your aces would never get the ball.
Yeah, right? That's why I was kind of curious, right?
Like you're not getting paid $32 million, you know, to be Max Scherzer and touch the ball once every 2 months. You know, you want it, and you want to prove to people, and that's what these guys are. I mean, a lot of people when they're watching Major League Baseball and you know, they don't see these guys as alphas. But I mean, I guarantee you, if you sat down with any pitcher who's worth his salt, you'd be like, "Holy crap, this guy's confident!" Like,
watch even when you see somebody Leonard, like Chris Bassett, it's super humble. You don't want to mess with him. He's on the mound. It's a night and day thing, right?
And I'll bet you take put in the right situation. Like if you went out for a steak and you were sitting here and you were like, "Hey, Gausman, gee, you're a phenomenal pitcher," he'd be like, "Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm really pretty good. Like, I may not say it a lot, but yeah, I'm pretty darn good." So it's,
and you, I mean, not wrong with that. No. You got to have a little bit of the talk to walk, right? It's not just
quiet show confidence. Up, quiet confidence.
I think over the next weeks, what I'm thinking they're going to do is they're going to keep the normal three: Gausman, Berríos, and Bassett on normal rest. Maybe Kikuchi's part of that too. So there's every fifth, sixth day they go. That other spot might be open in flux to whoever gets the hand that day. So
you may even see, and this is something that I was reading, is you even might see the Jays where, you know, like the Red Sox had a bullpen day. And what you may see is the no bullpen day. You may see a murderer's row day where they haven't been able to get Manoah in, or they haven't been able to get this guy in. And so you're starting out with 2 innings of Manoah, followed by 2 innings of Ryu, followed by 2 innings of Kikuchi. And they're like,
just to give them rest, you have or to give them work.
Yeah,
no, you're not wrong. That makes plenty of sense, actually.
The Guardians leading the league in mailers.
Is it Bo?
No, they have both. They have all three. Yeah. They've drafted all three.
Yeah, they do.
And two are playing. Oh, Bo and funny. Joe.
Bo and Joe Naylor. So, good stuff. So, looking at the schedule, boys, after we get through the Cleveland Guardians this week, we get to actually finally head home after a very extensive road trip. One of those days coming up in the next few weeks is actually the Jose Bautista level of excellence night. So I'm looking rather forward to seeing King Bautista return back to Toronto for a little bit of a celebration. And honestly, guys, I was wondering how much that might even be a little bit of a catalyst for a weekend with a very resurgent, well-playing Chicago Cubs team over the last few weeks.
What do you guys think about this? And I've often thought about this. So I see home run hitters and guys like that throw out the first pitch. Wouldn't it be more interesting to have them hit the ball?
I was going to say that. Like,
inaugural home run?
Do some batting practice and then flip the bat.
Duck and let him smash the crud out of it. Like,
yep.
I mean, I don't know if Jose can still get one out of the yard, but I'm sure he can. And
right down Main Street? Come on.
Why not groove him a 65-mile-an-hour fastball and have him
this
just
is a guy that was almost a major league relief pitcher 4 years ago. Remember?
They don't even need...
Really?
They don't even need to show you to where that back. Ball goes, right? They don't just even need to show where it goes. Let him hit it, bat flip it, keep the camera on him, crowd goes nuts, everyone goes
nuts. Inaugural bat flip.
Yeah, let him flip the bat.
We're full on ideas.
And then the rest
here,
of that series can be called Bat Flip Gone Wild.
Why are the Blue Jays not reaching out to us for ideas for marketing? We're really good at this.
Yeah, and we'll just take a small cut of the gate. That's all you have to ask. That's what we'll take.
Yeah.
We did our own animation team just to make it happen, and we'll do it for them.
There you go.
So, but that's what's coming up for the Blue Jays schedule. Guys, as much as, like I said, I'd love to fear the Cleveland Guardians, I don't right now. And I think split is the easiest thing on the planet for this series. I think we're going to come out on the right side of that, especially with the pitching we have coming over the next few days. But things happen. Like I said, I'm more actually afraid of the Chicago Cubs at the moment because they've been playing good, solid baseball. And they've actually had one of the best records since the beginning of July in baseball. Or I think it was best slugging percentage, I think that's what I was reading. They've been finding a way to get some offense. And if you haven't seen this weird video, is it Seiya Suzuki that plays for them? That's the Japanese gentleman that they had, that they got over the last few years.
I don't know.
I can't remember. So there's a video of one of the Chicago Cubs outfielders walking over and giving him a ball just because he was on the bench that day or whatever. He wanted to make him feel included that day or whatever it was, right? So he walks over, gives him the baseball, and then whoever was on the bench next to Seiya Suzuki grabs the ball and steals it, and he's like, the reaction in the face, and he gives him the ball back. He looked like a pissed off toddler, and he's like, it was just really amusing. So, not to that point.
I feel like
playing good baseball.
I feel like the Cubs are performing like everyone thought the Mets might. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because it's a similar looking uniform, and you know, there's a number of things that I think are you know, similar about it. But
ironically, they're playing the Mets, and the Mets are finally winning a game.
Well, I mean, you can't lose them all, right? What did they say in the movie The Crow? It can't rain all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Mets are going to win 12 before the end of the year. They're awful. Yeah, I mean, it's
the Chicago Cubs are actually, funny enough, back in the race. That's how well they've been playing. So yeah, they are technically the second best team in the National League Central right now, a game and a half behind the leading Milwaukee Brewers.
And Jays fans, just so you know, my mother made her debut on my podcast running behind me. I've got them staying in my house right now, which is lots of fun. But they're going to be at the Cincinnati Reds Jays game in Cincinnati. So watch for them in the crowd.
Great American ballpark.
Wearing my Jays jersey. So
we should be doing an on-field report.
I could make it happen.
There you go.
And let's go to the parents at Great American Ballpark.
Live to the Great American Ballpark.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. So, sorry, guys.
It's going to be a fun series, too, because that's two first-place teams, basically. Yeah. Our two first-place caliber teams.
Yeah. So, quick question. So does that mean now, like I said, the trade deadline has passed. So we can still rent a player before the end of the season, right?
No. Nobody from another team. You can bring as many guys up and send as many guys down as you want. They don't have to clear waivers or any of that garbo anymore, do they? No. So
yes, all that stuff is still waivers, I think, is for another couple weeks. So if a team like flat out just drops somebody to waivers, the Blue Jays can quote unquote trade for that person still, but they have to go through waivers before you can trade for that person.
So it's usually not anybody wants.
It's not right. Like good usually. It's usually honestly to this point, it would have been somebody in the Paul DeJong level that might have been you might be able to thinking them through waivers and then, you know, okay, great, we'll trade you and see if we can get you to a contender. Usually it's a throw in guy, like Yasiel Puig was trying to come on, sign me a few years ago. And it's you haven't played Major League Baseball in 2 years.
Love the wild horse.
Yes,
I just didn't know if Stroman was still an option or anything like that. So unless they literally cut him. That's the only
way. The Cubs actually decided to keep him because they've been doing so well.
He is not, ironically, he's not set to pitch against the Jays right now.
Oh.
So that's a little bit of a different one, but I'm sure he'll get a standing ovation from everybody on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, guys, that is the end of what I had on the agenda this evening. Is there anything either of you would like to add before we do picks to click?
I don't have anything.
Nothing comes to mind.
All right, so let's go to the board. The one that, looks a very, David Schneider-esque legend that's growing on Ken's part of the scoreboard yep. here.
Yeah. You're going to have to grow a mustache.
Yeah, well, you mean like you wanted. So definitely no part, no shortage of facial hair on this show. Anyways, like I said, Kensley in the way here at the moment on the board, but I had Vlad last week. Jason, you had Brandon Belt. Danny Jansen was on Ken's, and then we had Varsho holding down the guest spot until we get a guest next week. Hopefully, yeah. I got somebody lined up.
I'm going to go on a limb and say I think I win this week.
I would think that might be actually an accurate statement because I can't think Vlad did anything to write home, and then Brandon Belt came up with a few of the big clutch hits over the Boston yeah. series. So and I'm going to circle Brandon Belt.
A bunt single. Did you guys see that whole video?
Yes, I saw the bunt single.
And then he
I liked
again.
His comment after.
He's the best, man. That guy is an absolute riot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So on and that then, point, I'm putting a score on you, mister. You have now 4-2. Kenny has 8 right now to me having 3. So you
double
that back over. Guest spot got 2. So it's your pick, sir, Mr. Lyons.
Wolf. I mean, do you take the hot hand and really, like, I mean, I'm getting the first pick here. You know what? I'm not going to do it out of what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Paul DeJong. I think he's going to get. I think he's going to shake it off and start hitting the ball in this. Oof, wow, Ryu just threw a disgusting curveball. Sorry, somebody shook some keys over there, and I looked.
Squirrel.
Yeah. Paul DeJong.
So, Paul DeJong's locked in. Ken, your pick.
I'm actually going to go. I'm not going to do what I normally do and pick whoever has the hot hand and pick Schneider. I'm actually going to pick Bijou because I think I'm going to take what you guys are saying that since Bijou and Espinal seem to be almost like the odd people out because Schneider seems to be hitting hot hand now that they're going to have to try to elevate their level of play. I'm thinking Bijou will probably feel like he'll have to step up to that
good
level.
Good call, Ken. It's a good call.
Greg, what do you got?
Debating.
You got to do it, buddy. I think you got it.
No, I'm not jinxing him. You see what my lineup looks like every week on here? Somebody sucks.
No, just say Espinal then. Just pick Espinal. Say he'll come around.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna say Chappie because he's been having the opposite of luck lately. So I'm hoping that I can count as like the double negative thing, right? If he's already having bad luck and I cause bad luck, it means positive, right?
There you go.
So I'm gonna pick Matt Chapman and hope for the best. So we'll see what happens. But to that point, the Blue Jays. Plenty, hopefully, to keep looking forward to some good competition to maybe take advantage of over the next week. We'll see. So, all right. On that note, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for joining us again here on another week of Jaybird Watching. Make sure you join us every week live on Mondays at 7:00 Eastern, and you can have your voice heard. I see you all in the window here on this chat. Join the chat. We're happy to hear you. And we'll make sure if you have something fun and comment to put on, we'll make sure we actually display it on here for everybody else to see and read. And if you miss us during our live shows, make sure you catch us wherever you get your podcasting pleasures from, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of that. We're on any and all of that. So make sure you join us and make sure you're here on the official official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of FanSided. And I think it's that time, boys. 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Blue Jays.
Rance Mullenix.
Thank you for listening to the Jaybird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go, Jays, go.
Woo!
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.